Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yeah, morning.
Hello, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning, ma'am.
Yes. Now, I'm going to blame you for a lot of things. Ready?
Man, I'm a bad broad. You could blame me for anything.
Listen, I got up this morning with an acute and chronic state of depression. And that man before me has made my condition a bit worse.
I haven't laughed as much on this program as I did talking to him. I tell you.
Mr. Ellis, I am hoping there ain't many more people out there listening, like in my condition listening to him. But I'll tell you something. At first, I was taking him serious. But I eventually ended up taking him as a comedian. Now, I had planned to go back to my bed this morning and see if I could sleep off this thing, right? But then when I heard you about all these things that happened during the first week, I thought I would sit down. Now, I had to make some points here. The gentleman said, everywhere Miss Motley goes, she has got the AG as to prop her up. Now, if you compare that to former Prime Minister Stewart, he had a well-known attorney, the former government, central bank government, and a well-known financier who were always there for them. They also made us feel that every downgrade that was made during that time was a personal attack against the Democratic Labour Party. It was a personal vendetta, and they were telling lies on them. We didn't only have a problem with foreign exchange, but everything else was covered. We had a good paper trail behind there. Now, the other thing about it is, he said the Democratic Labour Party was doing all this, everything and that. And I might like to add it here. The first term in 2008, I thought by the end of that term that this would have been a one-term government. But you know what happened? Lightning struck again the second time in my lifetime. Wherein I heard it said 3,000 workers were supposed to be sent home if the BLP had won power, didn't it? Well, how did they know so good that the amount of people would have been sent home unless they had known this is the amount of people we have to send home? So I am assuming that all of those people who knew they were unappointed and just come and their relatives ran out and vote, and that is how they barely won by 2 seats.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air. Hello.
Hello. My name is Mr. Ellis.
Yes. Good morning.
Mr. Ellis, there are 3 things that are on my mind that keep bothering me. I'm just asking for 5 minutes to get them off my chest. Let me just start with the debt restructuring. You know, successive governments, when they come into power, and obviously the last, this one, they say that everybody have to bear the burden. So this is what has happened. The taxes have been imposed on both the common man and the business people, the businesses. But yet, you hear that the businesses have to recoup these taxes and to pass it on to the consumer like you and like me. So what are they contributing? This is what I want to know. Shouldn't they be sharing the burden as well by not imposing these taxes, putting them back on to the consumer? So we are paying twice. The consumer is paying twice. We are paying the original taxes that were imposed. And we're also paying the taxes now that are being imposed by the businesses as a result of what was passed on to them. Secondly, and let me tell you this, the banks, as soon as the taxes are imposed, they carry up their charges, etc. Now, you have somebody, let me just work it out here, some person who was earning, who had $1 million on the bank, would have been earning something like $20,000 in interest per year. That person is now earning like $500 per year. So you can come down the line and see how much money the banks are saving. So there's no need really to add on additional taxes on the customer. So I'm wondering why the businesses are allowed then to impose these taxes back onto the consumer already paying their share. This is number one. Number two, the victim is always made to feel like the like they're the criminals. You have people who've put the money in these bonds and in Clico and these different agencies in good faith. And you keep hearing people coming on the air talking about they're greedy. All of a sudden, we have a lot of greedy people in Barbados. Where are you going to put your money? You have to put your money somewhere. And yet, people are accused now of being greedy. I heard Mr. Marshall talk about people should have known that it was a risk. Everything now is a risk. We have a catchphrase that it is a risk. That is the catchphrase now. To put your money, knowing how the government stood at that point in time. Now, his government was in a position, and they have never once said to the public of Barbados not to put your money in these bonds or these treasury bills. But yet, he's the one to come out now saying that it is a risk. Everything is a risk. Before, you heard people on the air saying that it should invest in other things apart from the national insurance, et cetera, et cetera. And nobody ever said that was a risk. But all of a sudden, it is a risk. And thirdly, the pensioners. I don't know, but people seem to think that when you're a pensioner now, all you do is you go home, probably listen to Brass Tacks, probably go to QTV, eat bread, fruit and yams and potatoes, and that is good enough for you as a pensioner. Pensioners want to live as well. These are people who have saved the money, so that in the golden years they can do things that they weren't doing or weren't able to do. And not only that, you're living, you don't know how long you're going to live. You may have house repairs and sickness and all that. Who wants to go into QEH and sit down and eat all day long for a whole day or 2 days or 3 days? Right? People have depraved. They want to travel like anybody else. But I guess is what people say, oh, you're old, you're a pensioner, so you don't need to dress nice. You know, you don't need to go somewhere. You go home and sit down and wait to die, you know? And if you are like 85, 80, and you wait 50 years, you'll be dead. So that money will be there. And sometimes the family don't even go to claim it because you have to go through lawyer and this thing. That. So it goes to the government. We have to stop that, honestly. Pensioners have to live as well. They save the money, and you should be glad that they don't have to live off the government and that enjoy the money. And not only that, in peace, but they can leave money for the children, grandchildren, so they can have a start in life.
How has all of this touched you?
Well, you know, I called in here about a year ago, and I said I had invested in Clico, and I, up to now, I thought I would have gotten back my money. The first thing to say that I would get it now as a pension the next 2 years. And now I'm here, Ms. Martley, saying I have a flexible. I don't have the executive, but I haven't heard anything from Clico. So I was looking forward to getting that in a pension, although they should have gotten it in a lump sum. So I have not heard anything from Clico or from the
Resolution Life, the new company.
Right. No, I was sensible enough not to put all my eggs in one basket. So I live pretty okay. I live well so far. But
and all that is going on right now will not touch you in any direct way. Because you said you have...
You know how it touches me?
Tell me.
Because interest from my account and from these... And what I would have gotten clear from Clico would have helped other people. Like I wrote to you last week, and I said I used to, well, I don't think it was you, I think it was Corey. I used to put money into two agencies, and I stopped that. So the people who used to get from me before.
These are charities?
Charities, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer get from me because I have to think about my family and I have to think about myself as well. So you see how it triggers down, because people that I would normally help before, I am not going to help them anymore. But for me personally, it has not touched me that much as yet, because as a single person, you know, I can survive. I of course, I get my pension, etc. But I do not want people touching my money.
But what do you see as the cause of all of this?
All of what?
What we are going through right now.
Bad management. Bad management, and they're blaming people who invest. You have to blame the 30 people whom we have selected year, 5 years after 5 years, to hand affairs, not the 299,970,000 people. is these people that say that they can handle the economy. We put them there, and they have done as they like. They're the ones to blame, not the people who invested the money and people talking. And then you have people saying, give them a chance. And these people who are calling in, what have they contributed? We have to help people who have contributed absolutely nothing to this society.
So which
people you see that calling in,
which 30,
a lot of them live in government houses and never sought to go and get their own house so that other people could be helped. And they want us to help them.
Which,
what have they contributed?
Which 30 will you blame? The current 30 or the last 30?
I would blame the last 30. Mm. I don't see them anywhere at all in government at all. As a matter of fact, it would give me great pleasure.
But some of the last 30 make anything. Some of the last 30 are in government today, you know.
In government, yeah.
Some of the last 30, because remember the House of Assembly.
The Democratic Labour Party.
Yeah.
20 they know that were in there. And you also have to give some blame too to the Barbados Labour Party, because they did a lot of foolishness as well. But you know, they had a way of getting out. They have never gone through a recession, so we don't know what would have happened had they gone through a recession. But we had issues with the hardwood houses. We had issues with that thing down in St. Andrews. There's no white elephant and other things. But they were lucky enough to have never gone through a recession. I would have liked to see how they would have handled a recession. But they haven't had that opportunity, so you can't say that they came up good. And
well, you heard the caller from St. John, the fella who says that he's an Ecky Becky, 85 mm-hmm. years old. You heard all that he had to say.
I heard that and I was laughing. It was comical to me. You see, he's a hardcore Dem.
Yes.
But he's not being realistic. I used to be a Dem, but I didn't vote for them in the last two elections, because from the time Mr. Thompson came on, I can see that he wasn't able to handle this government. He started to impose some taxes world. He put $1,000 on because I had a relative I had to close the shop. Okay?
Yeah.
And then he imposed a 400. It was high. He didn't leave room for any, you know, for no further increases. It would always be high, $400. And then he had a Clico issue there. He said it wouldn't, what was happening in Trinidad would not affect us here. And I knew that was a mistake. I knew that he wasn't telling the truth then. I knew something was wrong, fundamentally wrong, because, you know, it would affect us. It's all Clico. So I knew that he could not handle it. So the next, in 2013, I didn't vote. I voted because I felt that the BLP would have been able to handle it much better than they were handling it. At least give them a chance, because they had never been a recession. But, you know, I'm not that diehard. You have to be practical. And I still feel that the BLP is the better of the two to take us through. But I do not like this thing about interfering with people's money. I don't like it, because people have worked hard and they don't want to be a burden. I certainly wouldn't want to be a burden. I certainly would not want to go in the accident and emergency sit down. I have been there, I've taken people there and I've seen what goes on in there. And I would not want,
You would have heard the Prime Minister yesterday, and you would have heard her previously explaining why it has been necessary to touch people's money. You don't buy that?
I don't buy it. You are telling me that the 3,500 people from the 5,000 people can put a real dent in this economy? That's what you're saying? Well, something else has to be wrong. And then we had the explanation from the former St. Lucie minister, Mr. Kelman, saying that the local, that she should not have touched the money from these people because the debt was being repaid, the local debt. That was the foreign exchange debt. I would have wanted to hear somebody from the Barbados Labour Party talk about that. You know? But you can't disadvantage people for other people. If you are going to succeed and you are going to trample on people to succeed, you are not successful. In my view, you are not successful.
You see it as trampling on people? That's how you see it?
Yes. I feel you are trampling on people to succeed. Why are you picking out these 5,000 people that have done everything that is correct?
But isn't the burden being shared not only among those 5,000, but when you look at things like the price of gas and things like that, and other aspects of the cost of living, aren't the other people sharing that burden?
Yes, but then the other people are sharing more. Because they still have to pay for gas and,
the notion,
and water and all these things.
So the notion, the way that it tends to work in society is that the people who have more will bear more of the burden.
So
it's normally that way.
It seems now that you should not have more. You're not supposed, it's a crime now.
Well, it
to
depends.
Have money.
I think a lot depends upon the state of the economy overall. If the economy, as you have recognized, if the economy has reached a point where we are on the brink, then that is when people right across the board are asked to shoulder more of that responsibility and burden. That's what I understand to be the situation. At the core of what you are saying, though, is a sense of saying essentially that people who have been thrifty and people who have done things in the so-called right way should not be called upon to make this type of sacrifice now. And if anybody is to take the blow, it has got to be those people that, in your judgment, did not do enough for themselves.
Right. They haven't done it. You're asking me now to take my hard-earned funds to help people who have not done enough. You know? And that is wrong.
That's one side of it.
Why will I tell my nieces and nephews now to go and save?
You've been fortunate. Let's take it and look at it this way, too. There but for the grace of God go I.
Yeah, that's a good saying, huh?
Yeah, and you know what? You know what? Some people are lucky. It is not just a question of doing the right thing. You have been in the right place at the right time, and you have been fortunate to have been able to amass what you have been able to get.
How many people, Mr. Ellis?
I don't know how many, but there are people out there like that.
A very, very small percentage.
There are people like that who are, you know, they have been fortunate to be able to get to the position that they are in. There are others who have worked harder than you, but they weren't as lucky as you. They have had misfortune of one type or the other that has savaged them and stopped them from being able to put away the money that you have been able to put away. That's another side.
I put away mine by being sensible.
Yeah, but you but I've said to you, you
money and have money and spend it well and modern things.
But not everybody.
And I work hard.
But not everybody. There are people who work hard just like you. Thought that they were doing the right thing. The people who put their money in Clico thought they were doing the right thing too.
And I put mine in there too, and I lost some in there too.
Right, but there are people who lost all, who are sitting down there hoping that, you know, they will get the $500,000 or whatever else, whatever they put in there.
That is the reason why I'm saying that it is wrong, and then the government now has set a price. Do that, you know, companies will do that.
All right. Well, I thank you very
much. President, but you know what? A friend of mine told me his grandfather to tell him be wary of priests, puppets, and politicians. Have a good day.
So, where you gonna go and live now?
Where you gonna go and live?
Yes, if you can't live without them.
I would love to know all those who call in to tell us that that is a risk to invest. To tell me where to invest.
But that's a big issue today.
I want to know.
It really is a big problem. But of course.
I would not encourage anybody to buy a bond ever.
So what are you going to do with the money? Put it on the bank and the bank and let the banks get away your money?
Well, I don't even know.
Precisely.
You know one thing for sure.
Barbadians will have to be more creative in trying to find opportunities. And those opportunities will exist here. And if they don't exist here, then within the scope of the regional integration movement, we should be looking to see what we can invest outside of Barbados and other Caribbean countries as well.
Understand that investment's a risk.
all the time.
People don't want to do that.
Faced with the situation that you have now where you can't go and put your money in government bonds and expect to get 6% and 7% interest and say how safe they are and do nothing else, you're now forced to be more creative and say, listen, what else can we do?
But you know, there was a time when people can go and invest in some land and some houses and rent them out and things. You can't even do that now.
Yeah, there's
a government about to take your land if you don't.
There's a great disincentive to doing some of those things.
At a certain time, if you rent out a house, you can't get the people to pay and you can't put them out and that sort of thing. So you're really at the crossroads.
I agree with you. I understand that particular sentiment. A lot of people are staring that in the face today and asking the question, what will I be able to do with this money so that I can earn something on it? And this, to my mind, is one of the great challenges facing the administration as it tries to create an enabling environment for people to be involved in that. One of the opportunities that exists, as has been articulated by government, in the divestment of certain state-owned enterprises. But, you know, there are a lot of people who would be reluctant because all that has happened now has demonstrated to us how uncertain the investment environment is in Barbados. Thank you very much for your contribution, ma'am. A pleasure talking with you. Down to brass tacks. It's now 11:21. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Dave Ellis.
Yes, morning.
Yes, I'm calling. I know so happy to find Barbados good.
Yes.
We work 4 months. There's 6 months.
Pardon? I can't hear the rest of what you're saying.
I been home 4 years, 6 months. We know so we signed for 20%. Good? And I cut me 20%. To 10%, and them tell we can't get we 10% on nothing. So, and we are told to be 10. You can't hear me, Miss Ellis.
You're breaking up. I don't know why you're breaking up. So, you do sound like you're hoarse.
Yes.
The 20% was what? 20% of what?
We know somewhere about 20%. And that cut me 20% to 10%.
What do you mean you used to work for 20%?
That we signed for every contract.
I don't understand 20% of what? 20%?
We used to work in Beautiful Barbados, Mr. Ellis.
I understand.
Let me call you back. I'm getting hoarse. Let me call you back.
All right. Down to brass stacks. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
How are you doing, man?
I'm well, and you?
I'm pretty good, apart from being angry with you, though.
About what?
Man, I wish you to keep on the guy that's here and keep Becky for your next half now. But the other day, first I laughed for the month so much. I really enjoyed him, man. I hope you come back in tomorrow.
He was something else.
I mean, when the man said that he preferred dead than to live on the I really enjoy. I hope you come tomorrow.
I was about to tell him that they don't have that many Ecky Beckys in Barbados these days. We can afford to lose him now.
I prefer to listen to the idea than listen to Mr. P, man. I hope you come back. Now, David, like the other callers, I've got a question for Verla the Pisa as well. I would like her to come and tell the people of Barbados, how did we get in this position after the party that she supports inherit a government that had $2.7 billion in foreign reserves? That is a question I want her to come and answer. And especially when you look at the present government, Mayor Mali administration, has seen in within 100 days, she had been able to achieve more than they had done or achieved in 10 years. So there's a question I want her to come and answer concerning the position that we are in now. Now, I want to say something to you as well. Now, you mentioned that the layoff of the workers, 1,400 or whatever the numbers is, would more likely create more job losses as well. Did you say that?
I expect that will have a knock-on effect. And when you look at the totality of it, I expect that it will be more than that. And you take into consideration, too, that the Prime Minister spoke last night about four or five state-owned enterprises that really need serious reform. So when you take all of that into consideration, you know, realistically, I don't think it can stop at even 1,500 job losses overall.
Yeah, but I see in a different light, though. I imagine that 1,400 people are still going home if the number is that much. I also see that that could be a positive as well, in that you can find people who would get laid off because of going home with packages and so on. These same people may form their own businesses. And in so doing, you may find, for example, a mason, someone who has the skills of a mason, he may decide he's going to do that work and would not be employed by no one again. But you know what happened? He would employ a labor with him. Then you may find a lady going home now. She may be able to go and buy some utensils and some other cooking utensils that you normally use. And she may begin to sell some food. And she may have another one or two persons working with her as well. I know persons, for instance, okay, who by selling just putting themselves or food only on Sanders David, support themselves by paying bills, and they had two people, I know one for certain, that have two people who work with her on Saturdays, just for themselves alone, and that she could pay those two people and the same time maintain her household. So I can see also if these workers get a package and they decide to be self-employed, they also could contribute
Look,
to the employment.
You know where this becomes complex, tall boy? The complexity lies in the fact that people who are selected for displacement, ideally, should be the people who are not fit for purpose in the public service.
That's fair.
There are a lot of people who we all recognize don't necessarily do the work that they ought to in the public service. They're the ones who really should go home, not the workers, not the people who exercise initiative and do the public's work. So the first in, last out principle will most likely be the one that will be applied. And once that is done, that does not address the question of the inefficiency that lies within the public sector. Then if a lot of the people ought to be those who have the drive and the initiative to get out there and, you know, create something. Quite a number of people who work for government operate on the premise that it's an easy job. You know, that's why you want to be in government. You want to have a secure pension, and it's much easier than doing things for yourself. So all in all, it is a very tough call. And as I said to a previous caller, it is not just about providing people with money. But people must also have a certain technical skill, the ability to run a business and that sort of thing. So it's not. I commend the government for thinking it through, trying its best to see how it can position people. But perhaps it will require a little bit more assistance than just giving a person some money to start a business or giving them land. You think so?
Yeah, that's true. But you can remember also when those workers were laid off by the Sanford administration, the amount of people that become self-employed. And that was their mantra. The same Democrat Labour Party supporters was on a pinnacle speaking about the amount of people now that being employed, being self-employed as well.
You give people a piece of land to start a farm, but look, this man says, I'm a farmer, and it's getting tougher day by day. The thieves struck last night for 30 rods, $1,200 in value. We really have to do something about this pretty larceny. So, you know, it's one thing to create that opportunity out there, but then there are other factors that impinge on the ability to be able to make a living in the country. The Prime Minister spoke yet again last night about the crime and how, In the face of all the economic difficulties, if you have an upsurge in gun crimes and stuff like that, I mean, look at what has happened in St. Kitts. I mean, that's the first. I don't know of any other scenario before this where the RSS was invited into a Caribbean country to assist with fighting crime. We've had the RSS go to Grenada in different circumstances and military intervention. We've had Barbadian troops go to Union Island to put down what was said to be a rebellion and that sort of thing. But this is normal crime fighting. So, if you know, St. Kitts is a small country. So we're grappling with all of this at the same time, trying to stop Barbados from that kind of slide.
Yeah, but I want Verla the Beezer to understand that crime in her time with during their administration period of time, it was more rampant than now. I'm not saying it's started like raising his ugly head again, but she needs to understand that in her time, her party time, that we had crime more rampant than
now. The way I would look at it is,
and there's only 4 months in the government in the office.
Precisely. I would look at it this way. You know, Mr. Beezer is on record as saying that we practice opposition politics. And therefore, she has to pursue that particular goal. But you still have to take into consideration that there are a lot of people who remain turned off by the Democratic Labour Party and the way that it conducted the affairs of this country in the period that it was last there. And people hear, but they don't hear. You know, but the opposition has to do what it has to do. And that's how I see it.
But to be honest with you, the more that they're criticizing me, the more the administration, the worse it's becoming for them. Because people realize how we get in this position, and they even maintain saying that all the time, it is because of bad mismanagement of a Democratic Labour Party that Verla De Pisa is now the president of, that create this problem for all the people in this country. And all of us have to go through the same pain, including the same Verla De Pisa and her group of people in the Democratic Labour Party, David. I thank you.
Down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Miss Harris, a blessed day to you, sir.
And I hope that you had a wonderful weekend.
Oh, I tell you, it was great. And I trust that you and your family and the station, and indeed Barbados, would have enjoyed the weekend as well, in spite of whatever we might have experienced, all the unpleasant trees, whatever they may be.
What unpleasant trees?
Well, I said whatever
they may be. Okay.
Yeah, you know. Because, you know,
there were some pleasant trees in there too, you know.
Yes, I said, you know, people always have some adverse situation that may confront them, you know. I want to mention a few things here. I don't know if I'm going to make mention of these few pertinent ones first, because I may not get a chance to mention the other ones. I want to suggest to the government, or I want to ask the government this. If the taxes that impose, like, on the hotel guest rooms, like $5, $11, $50, and $20, and so on, I want to ask them if they have got the law in place that holds owners and board of directors liable for these funds if they're not paid in. Now, my reason for that, for saying that, is this, Mr. Ellis. Because as I've told you more than once, I'm a Barbadian and I'm concerned about our country. If we go up, we all go up. If we go down, we all go down. And I'll tell you why I made mention of that. You remember, Mr. Ellis, when VAT was introduced, when lots of money started to come in, which enabled Mr. Arthur to liquidate a lot of the taxes and to give a $1,300 for those persons who were earning under $25,000 a year and so on. And you remember how the money really rolled in. But since then, I don't know if it was 5 years after or what, maybe it was, how those persons and those bills that collected that VAT allowed those taxes to accumulate to the tune of where it is in $300 or $400 million that is owed to the government. and government is unable to get back or to, you know, to get that money, which would, of course, help our country and the government not to impose the kind of draconian taxes that they would normally not have to do. Now, Ms. Ellis, if we are going to depend on the good faith of persons to collect our taxes that don't belong to those owners, whoever they may be, and then hold on to it, it is an injustice to you and I and to our country. It does not show any patriotism to our country. It does not show any sincerity or any honesty. I believe, Ms. Ellis, and I want to suggest to Ms. Motley, the Prime Minister, and those who are advising her, to ensure that there are stringent laws in place for the collection of these taxes. Because if the VAT has met what it is meeting now, these are the taxes that are going to come in. It's going to meet. And I'm saying this to you today, mark my word, that if laws are not put in place, holding directors, I'm saying that, board directors and owners, liable for these type of sales, we are going to confront the same difficulties.
But sir, I believe that the company legislation, the company law allows for that already.
Ms. Ellis, it is not stringent
directors
enough.
Directors are held liable.
But then,
we have
but
this
then,
what is called a fiduciary responsibility.
But then, Ms. Ellis, if these laws are in place, how is it possible?
Well, you know
then,
full well, the issue is not the law itself, it is the policing of the law.
Mr. Ellis, but could
and the difficulties associated with that. You must take into consideration, though, beyond all of that, what was said by the Prime Minister yesterday evening about a need to review our taxation system. And
I'm looking.
Some expert is coming in to help us in that regard.
Yeah, but Mr. Ellis, you see, I take that to mean the adjustments of the different taxes that are being placed on people.
Yeah.
I do not take that to mean the collection of that those taxes.
Yeah, but the collection problem, especially with respect to VAT, that collapsed to a large extent a long time ago because of the difficulties in policing it.
And I'll tell you this as well, Mr. Ellis. Now, Mr. Motley, the Prime Minister mentioned a 40 cent on per liter on petrol. My question is, who is responsible for paying that money and collecting that money? Because I'll tell you, this also, if it is not, if the laws are not, I'm talking about stringent laws, you know, I'm not talking about just play a thing. Because then we are dealing with our country. And this should not have anything to do with whether you favor one body or the next. It should have nothing, absolutely. Because if we are going to run a country and we are looking at efficiency and not accumulating debt on the people's back over and over again, these are things, Mr. Ellis, has got to be taken in a very serious way. Because
this must be the closest you've ever been to being on Ms. Motley's side.
That is not true. Don't say, Mr. Ellis, you must not say things like that. Because then you've heard me say on more than one occasion that whichever government is in office is my government. You've heard me say that. And you've heard me say already that I want the best for our country and I want this government to do well, because if they go up, we go up. You've heard me say. So you should know. I believe you. You know, you can be very troublesome at times when you want to be, you know.
That's true.
You try to provoke. Anyway, those two things I want to mention first.
Gosh, lashes coming now.
Pardon?
Lashes coming now.
The other one is this. Let me ask you, Miss Ellis. If you had a man on a chopping block under 18, do you think it would make sense for you to release that guillotine, chop the man's head off, and then ask people what they think would have been the best method to take before you cut off there. What do you think we should do before we cut off there? Do you think to ask that would make any sense?
It depends upon how bad they wanted to get rid of the man.
No, but you see, you do not chop off a person's head and then ask what method, what was the best method to avoid cutting it off. My head gone already. That makes absolutely that is a nonsense. You see what I'm saying? You do not inflict damage and then come and ask people what do you think was the best thing to do. The damage has already been done.
So what is analogous to that?
I'm saying that to say to you, I've heard you say, well, others, if not this, then what? I'm not going to answer that a question like that because that is, to me, that's a nonsense. Because then, if you have inflicted damage already, what is the point of coming and asking what else you should have done when it's already done? There's no point to
in
that.
In what respect is the government doing that?
Well, listen, here it is. I heard yesterday when Ms. Motley was giving a speech, and she said, between 90 to 98% of the persons have already said okay.
99.
Okay. To the debt swap. I think that's what she said.
Yes.
Good. Ms. Ellis?
That's people, individuals, and institutions.
Right.
Yes.
Now, hear this. Already, that was agreed and signed off on by the government. They had already made a decision on that. I believe it is possible that that could have been part of the IMF package that they had presented to the IMF.
It was.
Pardon?
It was.
Good. Now, hear this. No, listen to me carefully.
This is the debt restructuring process.
Yes. This is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Listen to me carefully. You have already done that. And you have already said to the people, after you've done that, if you don't accept it, you still can't get back your money.
Yes, it's like having a gun to your head. You
listen to
you
me,
have no choice.
Now, for God's sake, all of us are not asleep. Now, all of us are not as foolish as people may think. If you have already done something, and then you're going to give forms out to persons who have already invested in those bonds and so on. You obviously are going to fashion the questions on that form to suit what you are doing. I will risk the bet you now. And you can ask any one of them who come on this, you know, if you have to question them. If on those forms, the question this was posted to people, are you willing to have this debt reform? And if so, is it done willingly or is it done on a protest? Find out if that question was put on the form. Because I'm telling you, I can tell you here now, they either wouldn't answer it, they'll dance around it, because the answer is no. You would not put that on a form. Therefore, if you tell, because you remember, Mr. Ellis, that I think it was you who was on here on the thing, when you were speaking to a gentleman who said, when he went into the central bank, he was speaking to, there were three ladies on the, and he said to them, this doesn't have anything to do with you. And he turned around to the audience that were in the lecture room at central bank. You remember that?
Last week.
And he said, he held up his document. And he said to them, I am signing this under protest. Ms. Ellis, I am putting it to you now. No mention of that was mentioned yesterday by the Prime Minister as to how many people had opposed it. You know what she mentioned? What was signed. Obviously, if you give people conditions like that, for God's sake, I mean, how could anybody believe that after having so many people, 70 and 80 years, at that age would sign and agree to something like that. Listen to me, mark you. I'm not saying that all countries.
But they did sign. Whether they had objections or not, but they signed.
They had no choice.
Because the alternative to that was that the government would have defaulted on the debt.
This is the point that I'm making to you. You have put them in a position where they had no choice. And
but the question that you have to ask and answer is, and what choice did the government have?
That is to make them believe that.
What do you see as the government's choice?
Yeah, you see, you, Vasilis, I want you to face reality. If you are going to present a case to somebody that you want them to come on your side, it is just like, this is not something that is happening. But let's say you and your wife had a difference. I am putting it that way. And she complained or whatever. When you come to, let's say you was going to talk to Mr. Johnson, you're not going to talk to Mr. Johnson, tell Mr. Johnson the things that he should hear. You're going to tell him the thing that you want him to hear so that you can get him to see your point. This is just the point that I'm trying to put to you, that when you want people to agree with you, you put a story that suits
you. But that's why people like you exist. What is the alternative to that particular story?
But you see what I mean? You hear this. Now, you remember that I said to you earlier, I mean, you chop off of my head. You can't, don't make sense, come back and ask him, what's the alternative? You chop off your head already.
Yeah, but that doesn't stop the observer from saying why you were wrong to cut off the head. You are the observer. Let me hear what's the alternative.
The alternative was to give the people a conscionable choice.
Everything depends upon how much time you have. It is one thing to make the decision and to give the commitment, but having made the commitment, you still have to go through a process of trying to get people to accept what you have put on the table. You have to win
their hearts and
minds and get them to give some buy-in.
So the alternative to that is to bully them then?
What is your alternative? You haven't given me any.
Well, I told you the alternative was to give the people the choice.
To give the people the choice?
Not bully them.
But let me ask you something. You also recognize that in trying to give people the choice, as you have said, you could also scuttle a critical component of the whole debt restructuring process.
What do you think they would have said?
I don't know. I expect that many people would recognize the dire straits in which the country finds itself. And, you know, but the government has to create an environment in which it cannot, actually put itself in a position where the very principle of the whole agreement could be undermined. All right? We can understand the difficulty that they face there. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We're coming back.